Good Moed Reboisai. No, you don't say, on Good Moed. It's only good morning. How you guys doing? Shalom Aleichem. Shalom Aleichem. Lilu Nishmas, Imi Merosi Rusbas Mordechai, Paras Achoydes, Choydesh Shmuli Echt, F245, in honor of David Zlatnik, F200. Akiva Solkowitz, F94, Shalom Rand, F202, Shmuley Davidovich, B202, Davidowitz, Shmuley Davidowitz, B202, and official 8-Minute Daf Yomi Committee. Today's sponsor is Donny Fine, who's sitting in the crowd right here. And Avi Factor, also sitting in the crowd. In honor of the yahrzeit of Arik and David Friedlander's father, whose 6th yahrzeit is tonight, tomorrow, Kalman Ben David, A.K.A. Bear. Burr. A big shout out to Burr. Very special person. Rabbi, got a chaperine. I don't know if this is photoshopped or what. In England, they don't really photoshop, but this is in England. 8-minute daf. The only way we'll know if it's real is if they send one to us. We need to get this. I need to get my hands on this ASAP. It is?
Yeah.
Whose car is that?
Don't worry about it. You'll find out.
Yochanan Iskowitz says, this is for you to ask the current members of MDY. I know there are a lot of people out there who are very happy learning the DAP, but think that signing up new people is not for you. I know exactly how you feel because I was uncomfortable too. However, the feeling of getting someone to join the daf far outweighs any embarrassment you may think you'll have by asking. I walked into my barber today, and as always, we ended up schmoozing about a variety of topics. He's a very nice Bahrainian Jew from Queens, who's always spiritual, but not really the learning type. I don't know why I thought of it, but I suddenly asked him if he ever thought of learning Gemara. He responded that his rabbi just mentioned it to him, and that he should try the daf yomi thing, and that since I was the second person to recommend it, he saw it as a sign from above. They had to do it and ask me to sign him up. Kids, you do anything to get a free Gemara, even sign up your barber. If I can sign up my barber to learn the daf, you can sign up anyone. Give it a shot. You have nothing to lose. And you even get tzchar for just trying. Hatzlocha rabbi. Lemaisa, people keep on saying it over and over. It's true. It's a pyramid scheme. The guy, you bring a guy to the daf, so you share in a tzchar. That guy later on likes the daf, and you bring somebody else, you share in the second guy's. It's a pyramid scheme. It's a never-ending thing. And guess who's sitting on the bottom? Yeshua Aaron Price is sitting on the bottom. This is from Jay Nathanson. Question for Rebelli. When catching up, let's say I've missed Daf Dalet and Daf Yud Gimel. Which way is better to catch up? Doing Daf Dalet first and then Yud Gimel, or go backwards? I'm sure I'm not the only one in this boat. The answer should help all of us who are behind catch up over Sukkot. Chag Sameach. Jay Nathan said, "No, what does the Olam say? What do you say? The first, earlier first. Anybody? Very good. That wasn't the question, though. Well, anybody? You also say do the first one, Daf Dalet first? I thought the first one first, but what? Whichever one is easier.
There's a new Mishnah there. We'll chop a new Mishnah.
I like that. You hear what he's saying? He's saying that if there's a new Mishnah, whatever is easier. If there's a new Mishnah. So I'm saying the same thing as you, basically. I wasn't thinking about the Mishnah. I was thinking that whatever is fresher in your mind, like if you go back to Daf Dalet, it's so long ago and it's almost annoying to learn. So maybe you won't have the chesed to do it. But if you only, like you missed 2 days ago, you're still kind of in the sugya, maybe you should do that. If there's no difference, maybe you should go back. It all depends, really. If there's a Mishnah, and it's Gishmak, it's a new beginning. Okay, fine. L'mayin afkemina. L'mekech chumemkar. I don't know. Kiddusha Yisho. What do you mean, L'mayin afkemina? Boy, say, today is Daf Chof Aleph. So first of all, it means that we are 20 Daf into the Masechta. It also means that we are halfway through the Masechta. And I'm just wondering if anybody's Sukkot this year was different than last year's. I know mine was the way I bought my Lulav and Esrig. I made the same mistake this year. I bought more expensive Esrigin this year than I did in the past. I have a spear Esrig. But the Aravas, I was trying to do, be makbid on Nachal, you know, the river thing. I was looking, nobody, they don't have it. They don't have the Muncie thing. So I'll get it later. And then I forgot to get my Aravas. So I got a last minute Arava. And it was basically, Shvach is not the word. It was like, it's starting to show signs of wilt. Well, wilting is the step before mine. Mine is already black. So I had a $400 Estrig and a 35 cent Arava. Like it didn't, it reminded me of other years, the same problem. You know, Tom, but it's an Arava. Mine wasn't an Arava. I don't know what it was. It was for sure not Mahadra. It wasn't Mahudr. It wasn't in the spirit. So I kept on hiding those Arava. I didn't want anybody to see. They look beautiful. Yeah. 300 shekel lulav. I'm literally a one shekel Arava. It's crazy. You spend all this money and all the other, and this min is like. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. We're getting new ones today. Also, I'm saying in the davening, things were different because Yisrael Vazmanim that we just learned. The Eged, not Eged, you put in the Koshalok. I love this guy, this Sephardi guy had very, very thin, almost the size of a rubber band, you know, a small rubber band. So he took the lulav instead of having a big. Anyway to get attention. No, not you. Oh, it was you. I thought it was Yeshua. It wasn't you. You're just trying. Okay, I get it. Okay. Such a Balmidas. It's me. It's like Lulinius and Papas. Okay. We killed the girl. It's us. Fine. But anyways, I just think Yom Tov was very different this year because we learned the Masechta. We learned Sukkah now. And I hope it was better for everybody else as well. And Rabbi Yisai, here we go. We're a little bit behind. We're by Rav Huna. Omar Rav Huna. Oh, and by the way, a couple of things. I'll show you tomorrow. I got these two massive books. Every page was a letter from a different person in the shir. So hundreds of pages of well wishes for Yontif. And I just got it there of Yontif. I just started reading it. Beautiful stuff. So I'll show you the books tomorrow. Bezer Hashem. And all those who were behind it. I'm sure Yeshua drove people crazy. I don't know for a fact, but I could imagine. And Mark Ashkenazi and all those guys. And tomorrow, for those who are part of this year, there's many people already trying to stick their kids in and bringing their brothers and the sisters. And I'm part of this year. I once listened to this year 6 years ago, but there's a free breakfast. They'll do anything for a free breakfast. Anything. Yeah, I was going to say anybody that was in shir from beginning of Beitza, but you want to say a week. Let's see how it goes tomorrow. I'm scared we're not going to have room tomorrow. So that's why, otherwise, listen, if there was plenty of room available for the children, bring your kid, anybody. But I don't want people that are traveling far from Yerushalayim, from Ephraim, from who knows where they're coming from, they'll come and they're not going to have a seat because somebody decides to bring his two kids, they don't listen to the daf. I don't think it's fair. So anyways, that's why I'm, what? Yeah, one day for a shir, yeah. I was wondering why there's so many brand new people, Erev Yom Tov. And they told me, I found out later, because they wanted to come for breakfast. No, it's not going to count. Okay, anyways. They already asked. Trust me, they already asked.
No, Yida's brother.
He also asked. I'm serious, he asked. Is he coming? Says, we need him at the door, you're saying. He asked if he could come for the breakfast. No, we need him at the door. Omar Avuna, let's go. L'divrei Omer, Nidarim, Unadavis. He got it like 15 lines from the bottom of Chaf Amud Beis. It says, Lashem, you can only do things that are mechuyev, you're mechuyev to bring, but a neder, a nedava, bring it after yontev. You can't bring it on yontev. Don't tell me it's a derabbanan kind of thing, but mederais, you really allowed a shecht, a nedava on yontev. And the gzeir would be, shemayasha, we want you to do it beforehand, because if you push it off to Yom Tov, you might come, you might forget completely. I'll prove it to you that even with the rice, you shouldn't do this. The two breads that we bring on Shavuos, the Chavis HaYom Ninu, you have to have them on Shavuos itself. Now, obviously, there's no Shemayasha on Shavuos, because you're bringing it on Shavuos. It's made to bring on Shavuos. Nevertheless, You have to do it beforehand. So you see that even something that you don't have the gzera of Shem and Yasha, you cannot do it on Yontif itself. You have to do it beforehand. So mela, it's a deraisa thing. It's not a derabbanan. Ibailu. If you hold that you cannot bring a nedava on Yontif, you can't be a nice guy. You can't say, oh, I want to bring a oila today. I want to bring a shlamim today. And even the Malama says you cannot bring it, and he brings it anyways. That guy. It says in the Gemara, you shouldn't do it. He tests it out. I'll bring it anyways. What's the halacha if he did do it? You just throw out the animal, you toss it out. So there's a machlokes here. Rava says that you could do zrikas adam. You take the blood and you sprinkle it on the mizbech. And by sprinkling the blood on the mizbech, that allows you to eat the carbon. Whatever is available. Part of it goes on the mizbech, a small part, the imurim. And then the rest, the steaks, the good stuff you get to eat. So Rav is of the opinion that if, as long as I'm able to eat, why throw out, it's baltash, why throw it out? Sprinkle the blood. There's no big isser to sprinkle blood. At most, it's a shvus. What's the big deal? To sprinkle blood on the mizbech. No, you don't need meat available. You don't need anything available. All you need is the ability to put the emurim on the mizbeach. Okay, my benayu. So then what is the difference between the two sheets? Where does it become an afkemina? Let's say there's no steaks available. Nothing's available. It got lost. It became tame for whatever reason. Now, according to Rava, you're sprinkling the blood in order to allow you to eat. Not to allow the mizbeach to eat, to allow you to eat. And there's nothing available. But according to Rabbi Ravuna, you would sprinkle the blood because there's still the emurim available. L'Rava loy zarek, l'Rabbi Ravuna zarek. Meisvei. Kifsei atzeres, sheshachtam shloy lishmon. Right, together with the breads that we just mentioned a minute ago, the breads on Shavuos, there's also the sheep that you bring, you shechted it, shloi l'shma. What does it mean, shloi l'shma? So in, when it comes to karbana, shloi l'shma means you're thinking another karban, not like learning Torah shloi l'shma. You're not thinking about the rebbeinu shloi. It means, instead of bringing kifsi atzeres, you think to yourself, oh, this is an oila. Shalaychem, it's great to see you. He's part of the shir, he could come tomorrow. He's been forever. Don't be chayshed and they just came for breakfast. Kramer's an old timer, seriously. He's there for 3 years. So, he brought a sheep on Shavuos and had in mind Chveis Shlamim, Ayla, anything but Shavuos, Shloi L'shma. Or Sheshachtam Ben Lefnei's Manam, he shechted it before Shavuos, which for sure is no good. Ben Lach's Man, after Shavuos. Hadam Yizarek Vabasar Yachel, you sprinkle the blood and you eat the meat. Right? Because that's the first Mishnah in Chulin. When you do Shloi L'shma, there's only two karbanas that don't count. One of them is Karban Pesach. But typically, a karban does count. You don't throw it into the garbage. It doesn't count for what you wanted it, but it counts. So you're not going to, you shove it for Shlamim. Remains Shlamim. You don't throw it into the garbage. This is the point. This is what we want right now. We're looking for this right here. V'mhoisa Shabbos. What happens on Shabbos? Lo Yizroik. Shouldn't do Zrikas Adam. V'im Zorak. Hurtza, the carbon is a good carbon, top of Chaf Aleph, Amen Aleph. And why is it a good carbon? Amanas lach the Imurim Lerev. In order so that you could bring the Imurim at night. Vim Zorak, the Evid in, Lechatchila Loi. It's only a the Evid, not a Lechatchila. Now, Bish Lemele Rava Nicha. According to Rava, it's only Bidi Evid. El Le Rabba Baravuna Kashio. Why shouldn't he throw the blood, Lechatchila? Let him throw the blood so that he could bring the imurim. According to Rava, you can't eat it. You can't eat this carbon. It's Shabbos. What are you going to do? You can't cook the meat. So there's no eating. If there's no eating, there's no zrikas adam. So then why are you throwing the blood? Oh, it's a b'di'evid. You threw it, so after the fact, okay, we'll let you put the imurim on the mizbech. But according to Rabbi Rav Huna, that the only thing that we care about is, could you put the imurim on the mizbech? The answer is yes, and Moshe Shabbos. So let him throw the blood right away. Says the Gemara, Kashi, it's a great Kashi. And then the Gemara says, Vibay Seima, maybe it's not such a great Kashi after we think about it. Shani Shavuos Shabbos Mishavuos Yontif. Don't compare Shabbos, which is much more chamor, and the Shavuos, the Issur D'Rabbanan would be more chamor than the Issur D'Rabbanan on Yontif. Ba'amin Rav Avi Saba Miravuna. Interesting story. So Rav Avi Saba asked Rav Huna on Yontif a question. What if there's a partnership? Now we learned that you shouldn't be making food for a guy, according to one shita. You can make for yourself, but you shouldn't make for the guy. So what if you have a partnership? You're allowed to. What's the difference between the Darim and the Davos? So, if you have, you could do it a different time. Why can't you just do it then? Why are you allowed to shecht an animal that's owned by half of a guy? Amalei urva parach. Look, there's a bird. Bird. What does that mean? It means I want to change topics. I don't know. Not now. Look at the bird. Kinofak amalei rabbi brei. You always tell me what a great guy is. Why are you ignoring him? What can I do? Today, since it's Yontif and I just gave a big drasha, you hear this? After you give a drasha, after you give a shir, you need food. Give me food, give me apples, give me bread. I don't have koyach. I don't know what's flying. I need to think about it. The time am I? So the Gemara says, at the end of the day, great. He didn't know, but what's the reason? So the Gemara's question was, at the end of the day, another nedava. The Jew, whoever brings it, is going to eat it and benefit from it. So you give half, let's say half of it goes to Hashem, great. You can do that before, you can do it after. But the half that you're going to eat, why can't you benefit right now? And you cannot bring in a nether on Yontif, even though you're going to benefit from it. So why is it that when a guy is a partner, you're going to have geshmaka steaks from it, you're going to have simchas Yontif, hey, simcha el b'basav yayin, it's all great, but since, and the guy's a partner, you're allowed to. Why are you allowed to? And when you bring a nether, you bring shlamim, you're also going to have steaks. What's the difference, the steaks of a nether, which you're not allowed to bring on Yontif, and the steaks that there's a partnership of a guy? Is Hashem worse, chas v'shalom, lahavdil, than the guy? If it's Hashem is the partner, you can't bring it. If the guy is the partner, you could. Why? Says the Gemara. I'll tell you what. Behave v'chas v'shalom, v'chas v'shalom, v'chas v'shalom, to be yontif. Diev shalik zayi is possible ishchita. At the end of the day, let's think about it. Are you allowed to shecht an animal if you only want one steak? The rest of the animal is going to go into the refrigerator. You want one steak. On Yontif. You allowed to shecht the animal? Anybody? Yes. Oichel nefesh. So, just because the guy owns 50% of the animal, why is that a problem? I need my one steak, which is 50%, at least less than 50% of the animal, so I should be able to shecht it. That's what the Gemara says. So now we just have to understand why neder is different. Says the Gemara, I'll tell you why. I need to get to my steak. I need to shecht it. Another is much different. I'm shechting it for Hashem. It happens to be that the leftover, the kayin, is zoicha. I'm not shechting it for the kayin and the rest I'm giving to Hashem. I'm shechting it. So we have to understand what's the point of the shechita. If the point is for the Jew and the side effect is that there's a guy that's 50%, that's fine. But if the point is Hashem, and it's only a neder, do it after Yontif. And the Kayahanim, they get their stakes or whatever they're getting is a side benefit that they get after I do it for Hashem. That doesn't count. Omer Rav Chisda, Behema, Chetzi Shal Nachri, Chetzi Shal Yisrael, Mutal Shach to be Yontif. Okay, like Rav Huna said, you're allowed to. The Yevshalik is possible, Shchita. In order for you to get your meat, you have to do Shchita. Says a chiddush. Now let me ask you a question. Based on this, if we stop right here, what if a guy owns an animal straight out, 100%, and he tells you, you could check the animal on Yontif. If it's kosher, you get to eat it. Not, I don't know what happens. Are you allowed to do that on Yom Tov? The guy owns it 100%. Over here, the Gemara is asking a question. What if the Jew owns 50% and the guy owns 50%? The Gemara says it's mutter. And what if the guy owns 100%? Is that included in this question? Not included in the question? You're the Shaila?
Letting you eat it.
So you're saying it's okay? It shouldn't be any different than if a Jew owns it. But it seems like over here, only because the Jew owns a little bit of it, then he's allowed. I hear. Knew anybody else? I'm just saying, based on what the Gemara says over here, maybe it sounds like the Gemara is saying that it's because the Jew owns 50% that we had a kasha. In other words, if it wasn't 50%, it doesn't say Behema Shel Goy and he shefted it. The Gemara says Behema Chetzesh. Yeah, what are you saying? And you're saying over here the Shechita is 100% for the Jew? It doesn't matter who it is. Okay. Lamaisa, everybody here is saying like the Noid of Yehuda, but there was a Rav, a very chashev Rav in Europe, who found out that that's what they were doing in Europe. And he passed in Yenalad, and there's a whole Nidoy, because he was Madai from the Gemara, and it was 50-50. Noid of Yehuda didn't like it at all, and it seems like that a lot of the Achorinim were Mechulag on him. Okay, just thought it was an interesting Shaila. Omer Av Chizda. I have to admit that I thought the Rav was right when I first read it, but then after I saw the Noid of Yehuda, And he's saying basically what you guys are saying, so you guys are much smarter. And I wasn't mechavented, unfortunately. Says Gemara, but Isa, chetzes shel nachri v'chetzes shel Yisrael, also lefaisa biyantav. But if you make dough that's owned 50% by a guy, that you cannot bake all of it. You could separate it. You could divide it. You could give the guy his portion, and you take your. You don't have a right to bake all of the dough. Lisha, why are you allowed to do Lisha together? Why is it any different than...
Why don't you separate it out while it's still coming up for soul, whatever?
Yeah, I don't know. No. It says, Bil Lisha. It doesn't say what he did beforehand. It says, at the point of Lisha, you gotta, from that point on, you have to already separate it. Okay. What about, let's say a guy has two animals. Partnership with a guy, is it like dough? I could say the Jew should not give one to the guy, you take for yourself. No, animals are different because each animal is its own type of animal. Each animal is different. One is a fatter animal, one is a skinnier animal. But dough, you could tell the guy, you must separate. Give 50% to the guy, you take the 50%. Says Gemara, there's something called Isa's Klavim. It's a weird type of dough. It's a dough that basically dogs eat. It's not very edible. It's not so geschmack. So, but at the end of the day, if you want to push yourself, the shepherd, when he's out there, who knows where, he'll eat from it. So Isa's Klavim is mancha roi moichla memeno, chayev is b'chal. The Gemara says it's 100% dough for everything. It's a arichas lashon here, but it means it's 100% dough. A yichayev chala. Arvin ba, you do a eruv with it. Umishtatvin ba, and if you have, here's a mavi. I just grabbed the picture. It's not very accurate, but let's say that pretend this mavi was closed off to one street. This is the alleyway between the houses or the houses, and if these people want to use this mavi, this alleyway, not in this case. Okay, just pretend there's no road over here. It's a mavi sasum. Not mefulish like this. Then they would have to make an Eruv together. It's called a Shituf, but it's an Eruv. Okay? They put it together in one house, and all the houses become partners in this Mavu. You can make Hamoitzi. You can do Zimun. You can bake it on Yantav. And if you want to be Yaitza with Matzah, you can make a Matzah out of it. Kitzer, it's bread, like any other bread. At the end of the day, part of it will go to the dog, part of it will go to the shepherd. Let them divide it. Shani says, Klavim, since I could give the dog dog food. You see, people had dogs then. It's the guy that was hating me for owning a dog, which I'm not pro. I don't advise anybody. And again, I came into a matzav. I have a little tiny dog. But David HaMelech had dogs. And over here, the Gemara is talking about people, what?
Shepherds had dogs.
No, when he was a king, he had dogs. When he was nifter, he had dogs. Not when he was a shepherd. When he shepherded, I don't know what he had. But the Gemara says when he was nifter, the dogs wanted to eat him, and Shlomo HaMelech didn't know what to do, but he had dogs. But anyway, what do? It's your dog. As the Gemara says, it's your dog. The Gemara is going to say at the end, you're mechuyev to feed him. You could give the dog food. Give him meat. And if you give him meat, what's going to happen? You're going to have extra bread and you could eat it. So Mela, the bread is really for you. It's all for you. Says the Gemara, so that's, what do we call that halacha? Since you could give him meat, so that's the concept of hayel. Hayel, umisle, the Rav Chisda hayel. Now, by the way, interesting that the Ran says over here that lefaisam ben avela, this idea of lefaisam ben avela, I'll say it in a second. I hope to remember. But lefaisam ben avela, I'll say it now. Lefaisam ben avela, I'm going to forget. Lefaisam ben avela is a heter. You're allowed to eat all of the bread because I could be mefais ben avela. But what we're going to say in a second, hayel, about guests, and this is very important. Sometimes people forget. This idea of hayel when it comes to guests on Yantiv, it's not a heter. It just takes away the iser. It's not a good thing to do. Whereas lefaisam ben avela, that I'm making my shepherd, or the isas klavim bread, isas klavim is a heter. You're allowed to make the whole bread as is. It's not like a bedieved kind of thing. Okay, now let's see what this hoyel is. The famous hoyel. Rav Chisda hoyel. Rav Chisda doesn't subscribe to hoyel. Vayitmar ha'ayfem yantif l'chal. If you bake on yantif for a weekday, Rav Chisda amar loika, you get malchus. Now, Rashi points out here that we're talking, and he keeps on saying it, that we're talking about that he's done eating. There's a big nafkamina if he's hungry or not hungry. Says Rashi, he's done eating. If he's done eating and he bakes now it's a big problem. The only way he could get out of the problem is saying, maybe guests are going to show up. But what if he's very hungry? That's a different story. That's a different halacha. I'm hungry, so instead of making one bread for myself, I'll make three breads. That's different than hayel. That's just, I'm adding. Says the Gemara, what's the machloike? Is Rav Chisda Amar, why do you get malchus? Rav Chisda says, we don't say hayel. Just in case guests are going to come, you're going to need this bread. And therefore now, even if guests don't come, I'm allowed to bake. So you don't say hayel. I'm reading hayel. So this thing with the dogs, maybe if the dog's hungry, I'll give him dog food and then I'll eat the whole bread. Says Gemara, this is not a hayel. Maybe a guest is going to show up. Maybe I'm going to find a dead carcass and I'm going to throw it to my dog. No, I have it available. It's ready to go. I'm actually going to feed my dog the nevela. Okay, so it's a little different. People in the city that the king said, you must take, here's the ingredients, go ahead and make food for the soldiers. Be our chefs, forced labor. Can they bake it on yantav? Very interesting shaila. This is a shaila basically, can I bake for a guy? And what's the shaila? If you could take a little miser for yourself to give to your child, and the soldiers see it and they don't really care, it's understood, hey, at the end of the day, yes, it's forced labor, but you're going to work so hard, you're going to take a bread or two for yourself. Each and every bread is available for your child, and memela it's mutter. Vilav asur, and if not, it's asur. So according to Tosis, by the way, so first of all, let's see Rashi. Rashi says, kol chada v'chada, upalag ravuna the Rav Chisda, domar chesed shel nachri v'chesed shel Yisrael asur l'afaisa. Now what happened to Rav Chisda? Rav Chisda said, if you have half and half, the dough is half for the guy and half for the Jew. You cannot bake it at all. You have to divide it, give the guy his portion and take yours. What happened there? I'm making 10,000 loaves of bread for the whole army, and I'm getting one bread for me. That's not a fair chalukah. And I'm still allowed to bake all 10,000. Does that go with Rav Chisda? Rav Chisda says, 50 breads for me, 50 breads for the guy. No, you can't do it. You got to separate before, by the dough part, by the lisha. You take your dough, I take my dough. I'm going to bake 25 breads for me, and that's it. You take your 25 breads. Over here, the Gemara is saying, 100 breads go to the soldiers, but one bread goes to me. That's okay. So Rashi holds, they argue. But Taisa says, very interesting. Taisa says, since each and every bread could be mine, Taisa says, since at the end of the day, the only way I get one bread is if I bake all 100. If I bake one bread for the army, you can never take one bread. The only way they're giving you the one bread is because you're baking 100. They'll say, okay, you know what, you bake 100 for the army, it'll give you one. So that one becomes yours only by baking 100. So then that's the only way to do it, and memela it is yours. Azay zog taisus. Fine. It's an interesting svar, no? I'm going to drink out of the sukkah now. I don't want to, but it's better for the shir. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech haolam, shehakol nehiyeh bedvarai. Wow. Ein ze mevarech eliminats, says Gary. Gary screamed out from the booth that the Olam shouldn't have said amen. It was a terrible thing. Just because he probably eats, who knows what he's drinking right now. Very nice, Gary. It's probably very hot up there too, no? What's the temperature up there, kids? It's hot? No, okay. Says the Gemara. So anyways, his heter is, if they allow you to take a bread, then you can bake it on Yontav. If not, you have to do it before or after. Vatanya. Says Gemara, I have a question. Ma'isa b'Shimon Atimni. Now Rashi jumps in right away. Don't think that Shimon was a Timani. He's from Timna. And Timna is in Eretz Yisrael. It's like, I believe it's somewhere like where Gaza is today. Right? Don't be chayshed. Ma'isa b'Shimon Atimni. Shalei bo emesh the Beis HaMedrash. He didn't come to the Beis HaMedrash last night. B'shachash b'tzai Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava. Omer lo b'nei. Ma'alei bo emesh the Beis HaMedrash. What's wrong with you? We had the soldiers come. They wanted to kidnap everybody, you know, to take everything. We shechted a veal. First of all, you see a very interesting thing here. The bad guys come, they want to take everything, but if you give them a little food, you schmooze them up, you have a little meal, it works. That's what he's talking about. Huh? A breakfast. Tomorrow. We missed it by a little bit. The Balashis is coming to my house tomorrow. Somebody came over to me tonight and he was very upset. He's like, well, you're going to do all five of them in your house? Why don't you let other people do it? I'm like, no? How about you? You have a pretty big sukkah. No, not me. I mean, but the whole idea is that everybody should be involved. Like, yeah, that worked 3 years ago when we were 40 people. Now we're a little bit bigger. So, Lemaisa, you do what, if you have a better idea, let me know. I told him about Bentzi Novak doing all the food himself. If somebody wants to do that, make all the food and bring to my sukkah. Atoiva Manoim, everything. A to Z, Bentzi. Givaldik. Plus grapes from Bentzi Novak that he brought to my house, which we saved most of them for the Siyum. For the shir tomorrow. But anyways, if somebody has a better idea, if there's a big, large sukkah in the neighborhood and they want to do it there, we'll bring all the stuff, I have no problem. I think my wife will really appreciate it, actually. I wasn't trying to take away from that. The sukkahs that we did in Mendi Auerbach sukkah 3 years ago. It couldn't fit 25 people, that sukkah, right? Corn blue sukkah, 30 people, it was beautiful, it was very, very nice. It was very geschmack to go from sukkah to sukkah hopping. I just don't see how physically it could work. But everybody has tainus. How are you hopping it away from us? So do it. No, I'm kidding. Yeah, in Zavitan, yeah, I saw that sukkah. I lived there in the exact apartment as him. I know how big that sukkah is. I don't think three people fit in that sukkah. How many people? Your mishpacha fits in there? The women are in the kitchen. What? I didn't think so. All right, but let's just bali reino big shalach lives kol ear. Shachadu lem egi vechadu mebadu mishlam. Oh, my Lord, listen to this lashon. Tameani im layotza scharchem bevsatchem. Bevsatchem. What happened? You try to save money here. You try to save everybody's money. You didn't save anything. You blew it. Why? You were over Isser. That Isser, you should have not been over an Isser. Let them take all your money. Unbelievable. Unreal. Everybody would have lost a lot of money. But you had no right to shech straight out an animal for a guy. It's not for you. It's for them. Who said you're allowed to do that on Yontif? I don't have it here, but as I stated in part, we had it before. Lochem. The whole pasuk is that you're allowed to do oichal nefesh lochem for you and not for the guy. He could eat from it. What do you mean? Before he gives the whole thing to the guy, he'll take a piece from it and that's okay. Or Rabbi Yosef, ego treifahave. We know that it was, they didn't stam give, they weren't that large. They had a treif animal laying around. They knew it's dying. They saw in the x-ray that it had a big hole in the heart or whatever. And it's going. So let's just stoop it on the goyim. The soldiers, let's pretend they were shechting an eagle tilta, the third born. They made it a whole maisa and they gave it. But the maisa was a treif. Huh? Oh. Mefais them a treif. Very good. He's mefais them benevela. I like him, Morty. Shkoyach. Says the Gemara, Vochazi l'klavim. But still, you're shechting it, and it's mutter if you have a dog. Some people have dogs. You saw that new guy? He got so mad at me. I think I saw in his face, like he was 10. I said, like, which Meshuggah would have a dog? I was saying a dog. I was saying about me, but he has like two dogs. And he's like, this shear, somebody told me to come to this new shear. This guy is crazy. And they're like, no, I have a dog. Sorry. I didn't chab. Okay, anyway. If anybody sees that Magachir walking down the street, there's a guy, long beard, down hat, a frock, walking with a dog. I never had a chance to get a picture. On Shabbos, and I see him all the time. Maybe he only comes out on Shabbos and you can't take pictures of him. If anybody sees... Who? Which seltzer? Oh, that's the guy, but with the hat and jacket, the whole thing, that... Oh, yeah, I need a picture of that. It's Mordechai Seltzer's father? Unbelievable. Only in Beit Shemesh. Only in Beit Shemesh. Do you see a guy walking with a goat and a beard? The goat has a beard. You know who? Berman. When I moved to this neighborhood, he used to walk around the goat. I go, what's going on here? He goes, my kids really want a dog. I'm not going to buy a dog. You can't buy a dog. I bought a goat. So it's a goat walking. He's walking with a leash down the block. He doesn't have it anymore. Only in Beit Shemesh. Oh, nefesh. You believe this? An animal also has a nefesh. And the Torah says you could cook for a nefesh. How do I know a behema has a nefesh? Oh, animal has a nefesh. It could only be for you. So the Gemara darshins, and this is the mandomer that we're looking for. Okay, so he holds that you cannot cook. You asked me, but maybe he's. Why was he so upset at him that he said you should have lost all your money, lose all your money? And by the way, this is a sugya of how much money they have to spend on mitzvah, not the asay, the kids. Okay, fine, but. Because I was thinking about it, the Sregim, like the rip-off of Sregim thing this year, because I darshan so much, you have to get a motor, so I overspent a little bit, I think. But you're supposed to be a chaymesh, the whole thing. They talk about it in this sugya. Lochem v'lay l'klavim. So you're asking me, Nachmal, you're saying, but maybe, why is he so upset? Maybe he had a dog, and he shechted this treif. Okay, I understand it's a treif, fine. The story happened with the treif eagle, and he's trying to be in faizim with the treifa. But you're allowed to if you have a dog. No, Rabbi Yosef holds you're not allowed to cook for your dog. You're not allowed to shech for your dog in Yantar. However, Rabbi Kiva, I feel the nefesh behemah b'mashma. And you're allowed to cook. You're allowed to, what happened to my thing? Oh. You're allowed to shecht for a behemoth. What does the pasuk mean? It's better to shecht for a dog than for a guy. It sounds scary. What's the logic? Because you have to feed them. Since you own a dog in Beit Shemesh and you're mechuyev to feed it, so you're allowed to shecht. But you have no inyan of giving a meal to a guy. Now we're going to see, it's very interesting. Those days was different. In those days, they had goyim as guests back and forth. I understand that even today, like in South Africa, who's from South Africa? Is it true that if you like hire a gardener, let's say, to do your garden, you bring him in for food? Sheker. Sheker!
He's got the loaf of bread and he eats that side of the
pot. Who gives him the loaf of bread? Oh, but you do have to give him a loaf of bread. Ah, okay, so it's not such a sheker. He doesn't come in. But you provide him food. Not like over here, the gardener comes and he goes. You give him a shtickle food. So there is such an inyan. I'm saying, no, things are different. You see that things are different in different cultures. Oh, yeah. Sponsored by the MD White Hillam Group. For all those who need Shidduchim Rufus and Yeshua, please join us at thehillam.8mindav.com. Sponsored by Natan Kushnud. Yeah, I keep on. How do you pronounce his name? What? By 30, yeah. That's what happened. It happens. First chos, for my children, Arikala ben Dvara, and Yeshua Yaakov ben Dvara, they should be both do well in our Yisrael, have a cheshik for Torah. I love this lashon. Cheshik for Torah, mitzvahs in Yir Shaman. Says the Gemara, you're not allowed a shecht for a dog. I was looking for the picture. Unfortunately, I couldn't find it. In Erevin, we learned, in those days, they would take the pit of the date and feed it to the dogs, to feed it to their animals, and they would use it as firewood also. But we had an Erevin, like, it was a picture, I remember exactly what it looked like. It was a whole city made out of these houses. This is from the Kol HaLashon book. And they had, like, this pit that went straight through the city. And everybody tossed their pits in there. It was full of pits. It was a whole sugi of pits. Remember that? Just wanted to show that. It was a very interesting thing. So, Hani Suv L'Chivasa Eich HaShadin L'Biyantev. So, at the end of the day, it's mukta. It's not mukta because you're allowed to give it to your animal. It's not mukta. We had a whole shayla. Is a dog mukta? L'chayr, a dog is mukta. Those of us who own dogs are very upset. There's a few people in the room that have dogs. It's mukta. I don't know of a heter to pick up a dog on Shabbos. Although, if you ask my wife and kids, they found the heter somewhere. I don't know where, but they're not so makbid. Okay, but the dog needs you, the dog needs your love, the dog needs attention, whatever, I have no idea. I don't know, somebody just said, oh, so I just want to tell you a maisa. I had an electrician doing work in my house, and I went to learn, I was in the basement, I come back, and the electrician is gone. So I asked my wife what happened. She says, I threw him out of the house, because he did something to the dog, he yelled at the dog. The dog was barking, and he yelled, get out. I said, you realize that just, we're not going to have electric for Yontif. I don't care. You don't talk like that to my dog. So I'm sitting there an hour before Yontif doing this and that and putting, and she's like, what? You should have had this ready before. I'm like, no, you threw the electrician. Oh, here you go again with the electrician. Like, no, everybody. Anyways, if anybody comes to my house and makes fun of the dog, they're going to get thrown out. You don't make fun of the anicle. You push it down. The guy go, Yeah, if you own a dog like that, I'm not into it. Halavai, somebody should come and shecht it by mistake and feed it as an available. Right, I'm joking. You know I'm not so into it. Fine. Dog's not going to be there tomorrow for the breakfast. It's mamish. It's sad. So if this pit is dry, I understand that it's that it's you can use it for firewood. But what if it's wet? Okay, so this is something. There's a massive fire, so even a moist one will become dry through the major heat. Tainach b'yantif. Okay, but you still didn't answer Shabbos. But Shabbos ma'ikin le'meimar. Says the Gemara, amazing. Mitatalinu agar rifto. You're allowed to, if it's on a piece of bread somehow, you ate the date, you put the pit on a piece of bread. So now you're carrying the bread, and you mitatal dover mutter and asr, and it's okay. Kiddush Shmuel. Domar Shmuel oisa adam kol tzarka bepas. This is a big kiddush, Rabbi Isai. Because we're very used to, we regard bread at a very high, if a piece falls on the floor, we pick it up. You can't mistreat bread, right? We had the Gemara, you become poor if you... Nevertheless, you we're not concerned of bizui oichlin. You're allowed to take a piece of bread and have some dirty dates on it and then feed it to your dog like that. Toss it to the dog. Now, provided that you don't ruin the bread. Because if you're going to put gooey gefilte fish on the bread, and you won't be able to eat the bread afterwards, you're not allowed to. Whatever, something that has some sauce, whatever, that you're not allowed. A pit, no. You'll toss it and then you'll eat the bread, that's okay. Oh, this is what I'm saying. This is very interesting. We never had this thing come up by us. I'm sure people, if you have like a cleaning lady or something, it might come up, or a doctor, I don't know what. But think about it. Inviting a non-Jew to the Shabbos meal. It's very rare by us in these circles. I'm sure in certain places it's but in those days I think it was very normal. So if a guy was a messenger, you say, oh, come in, like in the Arab nations. Come in, have a meal, sit down, machzeh hamish. Like you were saying, you give him a loaf of bread, get out of here. In other places, come in here, whatever. There's different minhagim. Mizanez ha-nachri b'Shabbos. I'm just saying, it seems like it was a thing then. Hey, come in, the Shabbos guy, he turned on your lights. Okay, now sit down and have a little suda with us. And by the way, that would be Mamish Mari. Like, you could turn on the lights, you could turn on the air conditioner, everything if he's eating there. But Yontif is different. Do not invite the guy. Since you're allowed to cook on Yontif, so we're worried that you might add more for him. And it says, so he's going to take his bread, dip it into the wine. Bekitzer, the wine that's left over is a problem of Yayin Esach. And think about it. If you have Yayin Esach on your table, you can't bring it to the sink to wash. It's mukta. Why is it mukta? Ours is also pretty gross. The leftover wine that's on the bottom after you dip your bread and do all what you need to do, it's disgusting. Our cups we can feed to the chickens. What's the difference? It's the same wine, same bread. Don't forget, their wine is mukta because of the yainesach of it. Says the Gemara of the Talinu Agav Kaso. But why can you carry it, move it, the mukta, based on the cup? The cup is not mukta, and there's a little mukta in it. That's okay. So, here's a kanuna. This is some device that holds coals of wood. There's chips of wood here. Now, I just threw this on top. This is ashes that came from a cigarette or not, I don't know. But here's what we have here. We have three items here. We have a kanuna, this metal device, if that's what it is, just for illustration purposes. I don't know if this is exactly it, but this is something that holds firewood. And you have the wood, which is mukta. Can't do anything with the wood now. And you have the ashes, which you designated to cover up soya, spittle, whatever it is. So this is not mukta, this is mukta. So since I'm allowed to carry this whole device, so maybe I'm allowed to carry a cup that has Yayin Esach in it. Now, Taisus says, and it bothered me, and Baruch Hashem, Taisus talks about it. What's the connection here? Over here, there's something that's mutter. You have the ashes that are mutter. So maybe you could carry this because it's something that's mutter. But by the cup, you have something that's usher in the cup. It would be similar to if you're carrying this with just the wood. Right? You have a case here that this cup, giant cup, has two items, and that's davar usher and mutter, and you're allowed to carry because it has a davar mutter. But let's say you only had a davar usher, it would be usher to carry this. So then a cup that only has a davar usher should be usher. Why is the Gemara comparing it? So Taisus explains very nicely that this device is muktzah. This is not a cup. This is a device that Klishim Lachdul Isser is designed to hold wood. So it's actually two isurim that you're allowed to move because of a little bit of ashes on top that is mutter. So then it is similar to our situation where you have the cup that's mutter and the wine that's usher. It's usher and mutter, and one you can move the usher agav the mutter. Says the Gemara. Over there, the reason why you're allowed to move it is because there's no iser. There's no. It's not avodah zarah. Over here, the chashash avodah zarah, yai nesach. Therefore, it's also to move. So I don't know. I just figured it'll be cool. This is some sort of porta potty, and there's a. It came with a nice chunk in there, but I took it out. No, there's nothing there. It's you should just know that somebody once used this for certain services, and therefore it's gross and disgusting. And even though it's like the worst muktzah you could even imagine, it's muktzah machasmius, but you're allowed to move it on. You're allowed to move this on Shabbos away from your table, away from whatever, because it's so disgusting. It's like a dead mouse. Is there anything more muktzah than a dead mouse? No. The worst of the worst. But because it's so disgusting, you got to get it out of there, so we allow it. Says the Gemara, so your guest, the non-Jew guest, came and drank wine there, and now it's on your table. It's a graf sheray. I can't leave it on my table, a dirty dish on my table for the whole Shabbos. I'm allowed to get it out of there. What, is it so bad? No, this is rust. Lauren, this is rust. You miss. You don't see it. Here, show him the picture. What do you think? It's the real thing. It's rust on the bottom. Okay. It makes it better?
Yeah.
Okay. Omar Lev, Chiyozim Gav Shereh L'chadchila, but at the end of the day, you can't invite the non-Jew so that he should drink by you and leave you a Gav Shereh on the table. You can't have a guy come and take a mouse and shecht it on your table and say, okay, now I'm allowed to move it away. If it happens, it happens. That's why he says, don't invite him. Says the Gemara, Rav Rava was walking a matayel with him. They were taking a shpatzir with Mar Shmuel, and he was darshaning. You could invite the non-Jew for a meal for Shabbos. But on Yontif it's more of a problem. So same halacha. You see, it was a thing. It was mamish a thing. Now, by the way, they say straight out that if it's a guy that you're not concerned about, like a cleaning lady, whatever, that you're not going to be worried about. If it's something, somebody chashev that you might cook for, that's the concern here in the Gemara. But there's those that, the gardener, you're not going to, oh, I'm going to have to make a new meal for this guy. If I have extra, I have extra. So it says over here, by the way, I'm warning you, it's yontif for us. I'm not going to be able to cook you food. If you're happy with whatever we have, great. But if not, just understand we're not going to be able to do anything for you. Brand new Mishnah, the official Mishnah sponsored by Fishel. Refor Shleva for Brina Bas Yente Dvoira. B'shami say you're allowed to cook food on yontif, but you cannot heat up water on yontif for your feet. Elam Kain, Ruim Lishtia, Ubaisil Matirim. Now, Baisil say, you have to be Medayik here, Rabbi Yisai. What do Baisil say you're allowed to do? You're allowed to heat up water for your feet. What about for your whole body? No, they don't allow that. They only allow Liraglov. Oisa Adam. Now, there's a new halacha. Maybe not even connected to the Mishnah, the Gemara thought for a second. Who's talking here? Beisil or Beishamai? You're allowed to make a giant bonfire and to heat you up. Says Gemara, Yiboylu. Who said it? Diri Akali. Is it even according to Bishamay? There's a difference between heating up for one limb versus benefiting your entire body. What's the difference? As Rashi says a beautiful thing here. We're going to talk about it tomorrow. To relations and stuff like that. If it's anas kol gufoy, so then it's similar to eichal nefesh. Your entire body benefits from it. So perhaps, even Bishamay agree, then I'm allowed to make a bonfire. Maybe it's only according to Bisil. Toshma, yes, I have a four shabrizi that says it's only Bisil. You cannot make a bonfire. Bisil Matir says the official Mishnah, sponsored by official. So I found this chart. Baruch Hashem. I searched, got them. I couldn't find some of the charts tonight, but this one I did find. Made this for, I think I made this. No, maybe I did. I don't remember. Anyway, it doesn't look like I made it. Oh, I think Reuven Chait made it. Anyway, here's Hillel HaZaken. Okay? And this is Ben Achar Ben. Reb Shimon was a son. Reb Gamliel HaZaken. Reb Shimon Gamliel. Reb Gamliel. Reb Shimon Gamliel. Reb Yehuda HaNasi. All the way to Reb Yehuda HaNasi. Ben Achar Ben Achar Ben Achar Ben. The point is, that look at what it says in the Mishnah. Reb Gamliel. Who was a descendant of who? Of Hillel. So Reb Gamliel was a descendant. He should go with his family heritage. They had a minig in the mishpacha. But all of a sudden, now we understand the Mishnah much better, no? Now it makes sense what's going on here. But it came to these three things, he was machmer like Bishamai. Now what? You cannot go from Yontif to Shabbos bearing your hot water, whatever it is, you know. Also, I couldn't find that picture. It had the beautiful blanket covering the urn. That's Hatmana. We're going to see in the Gemara what it means. Picking up the broken pieces of a candelabra. The Gemara in the beginning think it just it tipped over, put it back up. On Yontif, you can't make very large breads, flat breads. Omar Reb Gamliel. And Reb Gamliel says here, the same Reb Gamliel that's machmer like Bishami in three things. In my father's house. I already forgot who he was, but it's in this chart. In Reb Shimon Ben Gamliel's house, we didn't ever bake heavy breads, only the easy stuff, the flat stuff, the pitas. So they told him, what are we going to do with them? In other words, don't bring any proof lahalacha like your father, because your father had special chumras. He's a very big machmer on himself. But for others, they let them do the simple, the larger breads, and that wasn't a problem. Says the Gemara, Hechidami. 2 minutes. What's going on here? Is there an Eruv or no Eruv? Why can't you do Atmana on Yontif for Shabbos? Is there an Eruv Tavshilin which allows you to do this stuff or not? If there is one, why do they say it's Asur? If there's no Eruv Tavshilin, why is it allowed? So we're going to see a few Tirutzim. Today, only this one. No, there's no Eruv Tavshilin. However, there's a special heter, he doesn't have an Eruv Tavshilin, so he's going to die. So we allow you to do the bare minimum. And there's a small amount of water, so you can have his coffee or whatever. He shouldn't die. We allow him to take a little bit. He's allowed the bare minimum. One roll. And one little soup. And a little candle. By the way, it means he himself can do it, not Loi. Who's doing it for him? His wife will do it. You're allowed to even a small little herring. Oh, here it is. This is what we're looking for. He's allowed to get one little cup worth of water, a little jug. Yashayrim avtsoinloi da katan. So that's why it's talking about there's no Erev Tavshilin. But according to Rav Huna, you're allowed to do all these things even without Erev Tavshilin. Rabbi Isai tomorrow, again, in case the Olam doesn't remember the schedule. We're davening over here next door at 8:30. You can daven wherever you want. You can daven Vesikin. You can daven in a different minyan at 8:30. You can daven at 9 o'clock. I'm davening over here at 8:30. And there's a minyan right here at a quarter to 7 if you want to go on a chalamay trip, a 25-minute chalamay trip before breakfast. Then, at 10 o'clock, we're going to our house over there, whatever davening's over, might be 5 to 10. We're going to this breakfast. And then 10:30-ish, maybe even earlier, we'll start the shiur. Okay? But it's about 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock, come there for breakfast. Have a wonderful Moed, Rabbi Isai.